Look, here's what I think is important. The job doesn't get easy. The job stays difficult.
Welcome to Dear Journalist. This is a show where we talk with longtime Canadian journalists about their careers. They'll share with us some of the lessons they've learned from their years in the field. I'm Christina Appa.
I'm Hannah Mercanti.
And I'm Yezua Ho. For this episode, I talked to Emeritus Professor and former Chair of the Ethics Advisory Committee of the Canadian Association of Journalists, Ivor Shapiro.
We want to get right to that, so make sure you stick around after because we're going to come back and chat more about what we heard.
Here's Yezua's interview with Ivor Shapiro on Dear Journalist.
Very nice to be talking to you, Ivor. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. It's great to be back here in a radio suite where I haven't been for several years. It's lovely to meet you here as well.
As an emeritus professor, what is the one piece of advice you can give to any student journalist who is struggling to figure out what field to specialize in?
The one piece of advice would be not to take too seriously the decision you make about specialization, because chances are, by the time you graduate, by the time you've been working in the field for enough time to kind of know who you are and what you actually want to do with your journalism or with your life, things will have changed so rapidly on the ground that specializations have themselves changed. Not suggesting that specializations will go away, they may, but the kinds of thing that seem very important this year will probably be less important 3 years from now.
What are the constant and essential qualities or aspect you must have when you're working in the field of journalism then?
Well, it seems to me that the definitive thing, there are many, many things that are required by any profession, okay? But it's helpful to sort out which of those things are pragmatic skills that you must have in order to do the work, such as, you know, right now, clearly you are demonstrating, Yezua, some command of audio and audio recording and audio editing, right? That's a useful skill indeed, probably will go on being a useful skill. But it's not the fundamental skill of being journalism, as important as it may be, right? So what is fundamental? Well, a good place to start is what is definitive about journalism? What actually separates it from other professions or occupations in the world? And, you know, my research over the years has led me to the conclusion that the number of things that are truly definitive in journalism is quite small. And the most obvious of all these small things, the most obvious of the small number of definitive things is an absolute commitment to finding and speaking truth, facts. And that has become a very controversial, a surprisingly perhaps controversial statement to make in our day, but I still believe that if you're going to be calling yourself a journalist, you have to show that your prime value is a commitment to finding out what's factual and conveying that in the realm of current events.
At the start of your career, is that the one thing you wish you learned at the start of your career, or is there another lesson?
No, I think that the factual reporting of events of current interest, current public interest, was so obvious at the time that I don't think there was any questioning of it. The questioning of it has come much, much, much later in time. What is the one thing that I wish I had learned at the beginning of my career? You know, to be honest, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I think there have been recent questions and mistakes I've made in my career that I wish I'd reflected harder on at the time. And that's rather different from at the beginning of a career.
Could you go into detail about one of those mistakes and how much, I mean, what you learned from that mistake?
Sure. Well, two come to mind. So I'll just give you the headlines on both. And if you want me to expand, I'll do so with pleasure. All right. The one is something I've written about. I wrote about 15 years ago. And it was the telling of a lie in a travel article where I was persuaded by an editor, a respected, reputable editor, that the lie was so minor and was something of purely narrative intent, made no difference to the actual substance of the article. And after all, it was a travel story, and travel stories had, I was told, their own logic, their own sort of room for ethical messing around, as I would say right now. The point is, I never realized how much I would regret having written something that was published that wasn't true. It didn't matter that it was minor. It was a minor, minor thing. It didn't matter. I wish I had just simply said, you know what, sorry, I don't do that as a journalist. I don't think journalists do that, even if you're telling me they sometimes do. The other one is much, much more recent as what we're talking now at the very end of October. At the beginning of this month, there was, of course, the opening up of a new round of hostilities, violence in Israel-Palestine, and I wrote a column about that. That I made a mistake in. It wasn't a factual error, but it was a mistake of language, and I've only just learned, just in the last couple of days, that the whole point that I was trying to get to in that article was misunderstood by a few people that I really respect, and I'm, you know, kind of mortified to find out that, you know, at my advanced age and with my experience as a writer, it was possible for me to forget something pretty basic about language and communication.
Considering there's so many responsibilities and duties journalists have to fulfill in terms of ethical reporting and also truthful reporting, how can they remember that even if they make a mistake, it isn't going to be the end of the world?
Look, here's what I think is important. The job doesn't get easy. The job stays difficult. So, you know, let me tell you a little bit more about this thing recently, because it has humbled me at the age of, dare I say, 70, after a career full of writing with care, right, to realize that I could be dramatically misunderstood. So I wrote a piece that was printed, that was published on a digital website and was republished in newspapers and other digital websites around the world. And my purpose in writing this piece was to explain why I still believe it is useful for journalists to prefer neutral language, unloaded language, when reporting about things that people have deep, deep and very divided and polarized feelings about. In this case, there's been a lot of criticism of the word terrorist when used by media such as, you know, CBC, BBC, the Globe and Mail, blah, 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 a lot of main media. And pro-Israel advocates have said, no, you know, call terrorism terrorism. What could this event have been that sparked the current round of hostilities on October 7th, what could it have been other than an act of terrorism? Isn't it definitively terrorist? And there is some logic to that position. I started with that position in my article, thinking, okay, let's start with the question and then work one's way from the logic behind the question through to the logic of journalism and come to my conclusion, which was, in fact, that journalists, news organizations should avoid loaded words wherever possible. Words like terrorist, for example, with respect to attacks of this kind, whatever the journalist themselves individually might think. So, you know, if people want to find out more about my argument, they can read that. My point being that it was a mistake was a really quite serious mistake to begin with that beginning, because there were people who read that beginning and felt that that was my premise, and that colored their perception of everything that followed, and they felt that I was basically making an argument for the very opposite of what I was arguing for, which was very sobering to me to realize that I had made some pretty basic rhetorical error that if I had just thought about it from various points of view, I think I could have avoided it so easily. So my point is, it doesn't get easier. It keeps on being hard because the discipline is hard. And why is that encouraging? I think it's encouraging because that perspective, that lens of this is hard to do, it isn't easy. It isn't easy regardless of how much experience one has. It is something to be careful about and that I will make mistakes in. That perspective can ease that kind of imposter syndrome, or I'm so young, how can I possibly be expected to do this? It's just too hard for me because because of who I am or what I bring or what I don't bring. The truth is, it's hard just because it's hard, not because of who you are or you who you want. It's hard because it's hard. Get the help you need as much as possible. Allow yourself to make mistakes because it's hard.
Can you provide some guidance as to how journalists can get help regarding these ethical challenges?
Well, I think there's friends. And the wonderful thing about journalism school is making friends who are in more or less the same, if not the same business, then at least come with more or less similar ideals to the work that you do. And those friends and you should talk about your work, because no one else can possibly help you brainstorm it as effectively as your friends can. But then in the workplace, there will also be people, and frankly, what I'm about to say applies to any kind of work anywhere, to find mentors, people who exhibit some kind of appreciation for you as a person, what you bring, and who are, well, decent human beings, who are kind, and who you think might be willing to spare you time from time to time to give you advice. They might not be right, but thinking about things can be helpful. The job involves quick decision-making at times. Not all times, but sometimes. The example I gave you didn't require quick decision-making. I could have easily spent another hour on the piece just devoted to thinking it through again from a variety of perspectives of readers, right? But sometimes, yeah, there are quick decisions that need to be made. Well, quick decisions are made quickly. And forgive yourself if you make one that's not so good, and see if you can remedy it in follow-up work.
That was my conversation with Ivor. Hannah, Christina, what did you both take away from it?
Yeah, I thought it was a really great conversation. He said so many amazing things, but one thing that really stuck out to me is that what he talked about, making friends and having friends in the journalism program, will really help you, not only in your career, but also with your experience with it overall. Like, let's say you make a mistake, you can go to a friend and be like, oh, I made this mistake, can you give me some advice? I think for me, there's no way that I would be able to be in the program if I didn't make friends, because I think having that support with people who know exactly what you're going through because they're also a student, is really helpful, and just someone to lean on whenever you need them.
He said, like, it's hard because it's hard. It doesn't get easier. There was, like, half a pit in my stomach and half I was like, that's kind of nice.
Because,
you don't want to, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but personally, I don't want a job that gets kind of boring right after I figure it out, you know? Like, it's good to know that it's, not that it's good to know it's never going to get easier, but it's, like, good to know that it's always going to be challenging, because it's a challenging field and you just need to work hard. Like, it's not because of you. It's not like because we suck because we're students and we're young and we don't have the experience. Like, it's just because it's a hard profession. It's good to have people that understand what you're going through and, like he said, kind of align with your own belief systems. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a freak about truth and about research. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the head of research. So when he was like, truth is one of the most important things, like, that has to be an important value to a journalist. I was like, yeah, it's nice to know that, like, your friends would be on the same level with you and stuff like that.
Right. And it doesn't have to be like you have to make a friend. As long as you find someone to have a camaraderie and solidarity with, just understanding like, man, this sucks. And someone else like, oh, I think it sucks too. Like, it's so nice and relieving to know like, okay, it's not just me. And that's another another good point you brought up, that it never gets easier. And like you said, like if I was in first year, if I heard that, I'd be like, oh, my God, right? Where's the career change for me?
Yeah.
I want to change my major to like psychology or something like that.
Yeah, because that's going to get you.
And that's so much easier.
Yeah, but like it's still relieving now that you think about it, because that means mistakes are bound to happen and we're always going to be learning. And that kind of harkens back to what Kevin O'Keefe said in the last episode about that, like, when he was talking to, I forgot who it was. He did like a really good impersonation of her. It was near the end. He was talking to someone. It was like one of his close colleagues. And he told her, I didn't make as many mistakes this year. And she said, you shouldn't say that. And the reason why you shouldn't say that is because you're never going to learn if you don't make a lot of mistakes.
Your first interview with a source, how did that go? I remember because our first year was everything was online. So it was crazy. And it was with somebody from this company, and it was a phone interview, and I was like sweating before I had to do it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like sweating. And then I did it and it was fine. But I think I would never listen to it, but if I were to listen to it, I think a lot of what I was doing was just reading the questions, like run after the other, and not like actually engaging in a kind of conversation like I do now when I do interviews. So I think that's kind of what I've learned, is to just be more comfortable with the person you're talking to.
Yeah. Oh my God, my first interview, I didn't record it. I forgot to record it. I guess I just didn't know how Zoom worked, and I didn't have experience enough to be like, oh, you should always have a backup recording. So I didn't record it, and I hate admitting this. It was not published anywhere, and I don't do this anymore, but I did just kind of use it from memory. I was like, I remember.
Yeah.
I was there. Like, I just kind of wrote down everything I remembered. I would never do that now. Reading that story would be like actual torture, I think.
Right.
But, you know, it's something I'll never do again. I always have backup recordings now. Like, you will not catch me without at least two recordings of every interview I do, because that was traumatizing.
That's funny, because when I did one of my first interviews, I chose not to record. It's like, oh, I can write it. I had good handwriting in high school.
Oh,
but months after, like, the pandemic started, I've been doing nothing but typing. So I was like, oh, that was a good interview. Let me look at my notes. I look at it. It looks like chicken scratch. I look around my room because I thought someone came in and wrote it for me. It was that bad. And then my first interview was with Ivor, actually, and he was super nice about it. You could tell how nervous I was, because I was very stilted, and I did the exact same thing where I was just telling the questions and not really I tried my best to like link one to the other, or try to be, how do you say it?
Like engaging. Like
engaging.
And making sure. Actually have a conversation.
Right. And make it flow well. That's the key word here. Yeah, flow. And afterwards, he was like, you did a great job. Here are some good points. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much.
That's so nice.
It was about, I think the story was about the Rubik's event that happened. And this is like one of my first stories. It's four story day.
This has been Dear Journalist for the Review of Journalism. For more episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, check out Reviewed. It's a celebration of 40 years of the Review of Journalism, with conversations from feature writers and emerging journalists.
Make sure that you also pick up a copy of the 40th anniversary issue of the Review of Journalism, available on newsstands across Canada in April 2024. You can head to reviewofjournalism.ca to find out more. For extra online content, you can also connect with the Review on X and TikTok. Until next time, I'm Christina Appa.
I'm Yezua Ho.
And I'm Hannah Mercanti. Thank you again to Ivor Shapiro for talking with us. And thank you, dear journalist, for listening.